Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of the My Love of Golf podcast, wherever you are around Australia or around the world. We love the fact that you take the time out of your day to tune in, take the time out of your night, take the time out of your week, wherever you tune in and wherever you are tuning in from. We do appreciate it. Magic Mike is joining us on the line with all of his great information. He's got an update to the Teep Stay. He's got an update to the Data Lake and a little bit of around the grounds from this week in golf and a little bit of his. Let's bring him in. Mike, hello, Mike. Mike, are you still with us? How are you, Mike?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It's great to be back. You still with us? I was worried this week. I was worried.
You were worried?
Yeah, I was worried.
Why?
Well, you went, there was silence. You went silent on the other channel, the channel of chat, the Discord. I tell you, Discord's got me obsessed at the moment, Mike. Me and probably half the rest of the world. Little thing called, what's it called? Midjourney. Midjourney has got me and the other photographic golfers of the photographic Instagram nature. Will Watt's putting out some sensational stuff. And I'm having a bit of a dabble at Midjourney. But when I'm in there trying to build some AI golf pictures, you can see on my Instagram, I made one out of a Scottish Glen and the Peninsula Kingswood eighth hole that I took a photo of, mashed it together. And you know how many people sent me a message going, mate, that's a great photo, great drone work. Where's that? And yep. I had to make those split second decisions whether of leading people on, which is my usual form. I usually lead people on a little bit and then say, nah, it's just AI. But I was pretty much fessed up straight away. It's a lot of fun Midjourney. If you want to make up some pictures and avatars and that sort of thing, mindless sort of time zapping stuff that you do. But it sits alongside our Discord channel, which, of course, once you're bored of, you know, making an AI picture out of nothing, you tap over to the My Love Golf Discord channel and there's usually something there to keep you entertained with a bit of banter. At the moment, it seems to be PGA Tour v Live Tour banter. You're pretty much the orchestrator of most of our stuff. You went silent. You said, that's it. I'm out. Gone. And then you disappeared and I got worried.
I appreciate the fact that somehow your brain calculates it to be Live versus PGA Tour. At no point is it Live versus PGA Tour. It just is Live people spouting how much they love the livers, and then that's it. And other people saying we don't like it, but I wouldn't necessarily. That has anything to do with the PGA Tour.
Well, it is in one of the chat channels in the server there, which is dedicated to Live, and it does seem, it does seem to be people that talk about Live Golf,
it's
and then people
that want the busiest channel.
It's very active.
Well, did you want to fill in people why? Do you want to go through the...
Well, it was too many. I don't understand. I still don't understand why. There was someone... Well, no, it's not someone. It was me. I put up a post, just I copied a post from the world of Twitter, and it was the Mike Wan post. It was someone else's post.
Golf Digest.
Reposting Golf Digest. It was Country Club adjacent who made a pretty derogatory comment, let's be honest. It wasn't very complimentary about Mike Wan, who is in charge of the USGA, one of the most significant bodies in the game of golf. They put up a pretty derogatory comment around the reasoning of the USGA's ban, the way that Taylor Gooch, obviously won the last two live events, is now not eligible to play in this year's US Open because they tweaked the qualification criteria, which now prevents Taylor Gooch, who this time last year would have been qualified. Mm. And I sort of, I said, oh, good one, Mike. And then you said, that's it. I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah.
See you later.
100%.
And then I got worried. And I turned the Zoom channel on at the, admittedly a couple of minutes late. And you were there. So I was pretty happy that you were there still.
Yeah.
Because I thought you were done. I thought that was it. I thought this week's podcast was going to be me alone going, sorry, guys. Let's let you know that Mike's out.
it'll be me steering clear of the Live channel because I just have no interest in it. And then that's not even a shot at Live. That is, I think last week or the week before, we talked about the fact that when it comes to social media and impacts on your brain and people spouting things as gospel or casting dispersions or just having a narrative based on 99% of the time stuff that's not remotely true does my head in, and I have no interest in it. And that Taylor Gooch exemption into the US Open is a prime example of something that I just find hilarious, but mind-numbingly stupid that we're even talking about in May.
Okay.
That's just ridiculous.
Well, but okay, but, you know, like I just put some – for me, like it's sort of like me leading someone on that my AI photo isn't real. It's a bit of fun. And you know, if I post something there and say, oh, good on you, Mike, you know, you've banned Taylor Gooch, who's won the last two things.
Ban him, for starters.
Okay, so I'm part of the problem. You know, he's not qualified for the US Open any longer.
Never was.
Under the new criteria.
Under the criteria of this year's US Open, he was never qualified, correct?
Exactly, which got tweaked to say that you had to play, qualify for the FedEx Championship or the Tour Championship and play in it. Previously, it was only qualified for the Tour Championship. Why would they do that other than to, you know, other than to make sure that any live player who wasn't already qualified via, you know, previous wins and whatever, and current ranking, why would they do that? Why would they do that?
Oh, they 100% have changed that rule so that people from live don't use that as an exemption to get in. Absolutely.
Okay.
That hasn't. What makes me shake my head is Taylor Gooch is under the understanding he is getting into the US Open this year based on an exemption last year that said if you qualified for the Tour Championship, you will be eligible. The regulations change, and they change, I think, most every other year. And this year they changed it so that it's not eligible. You need to be qualified and eligible. Qualified, not eligible. So he qualified last year, but he never played, was never going to.
Yep.
And in my opinion, in the spirit of that eligibility to play in the US Open, at the top 30 people that get to that event, they're the ones that get that exemption. Not a guy who would have qualified if he was still playing on that tour. I think it's just ridiculous that he even thought there was a chance that he could qualify through that exemption because he wasn't even a part of that tour anymore. I find that stupid. And what I find even equally stupid is he found this out in Feb. This is not new news. So in February, he was notified then because the list comes out from the USGA with the new qualification rule that says he's not on the list. And it says why? Because it says those players who qualified and were eligible for the season-ending 2022 Tour Championship, he's not on that list. There's a bunch of other LIV players on there because they went and played it. But Taylor went early, so he wasn't there. He never qualified. He hung around longer than DJ, I'm guessing, so played more events, whatever it was. But to think that you would then cash that in is silly. And then on top of that, it wasn't like he was told he can't play in the event. He had plenty of time to go and play in a US Open qualifier, and he's clearly shown that he can play golf, so he would have got through and got into the event anyway. But he refused to do that, and has still said in the interview where he dropped this little nugget that he was a bit peeved about it, that he goes, no, well, they clearly don't want me there, so I'm not going to even try to qualify. So when you see the press come out this week and they're talking about it, and then they make footnotes about it, and it's too late now because, you know, all the open qualifiers, deadline has passed to even qualify. So, yeah, but he didn't just find out. He found it on, like, the 15th of February. This is not new news. It became new news because he dropped it in a podcast, and then Phil Mickelson decided to tweet about it. And that's why I just sit there and shake my head and walk away, because what I just vomited at you, 99% of people that are even talking about this wouldn't have a clue about. They're just looking at it like, bloody USGA and Mike Wine again out there to get to us live guys. It's like, nah, mate. And that, like, go back and do the sums and really think about it and say, in the true spirit of that exemption, do you really think he deserves the exemption? Like, do we take it off the person who did play in the event? Because it's 30 invites, we'll say. So do we take it off one of the guys that actually played in it to get him in? Because he would have qualified if he was still on the tour, but he gave it away 5 months before that. Like, come on, that's ridiculous.
Okay, well, there you go, people. That is the reason why Taylor Gooch, if you are one of the people that sort of skim the world of Twitter, we had a very strong discussion around Twitter last week and how it can be a great thing, but in a lot of the cases, if used the wrong way and used divisively, it can be the wrong thing, or can provide the wrong information or half information, which then obviously creates the environment that Twitter thrives on. There you go. Magic Mike has just explained in his terms of why he went radio silent on the chat that he dominates over the weekend, and which led me to think that he might not have turned up tonight. But I'll just be
steering clear of the Live channel. Let the Live lovers have their loving, and what? I can just go and enjoy life elsewhere.
Shout out to Loda, who's on the other side of it, has been driving. He's been a driving force. He's been a driving force of chat.
The best part about Loads is I know for a fact he doesn't even care about Live. He just loves winding everybody up. That's the funniest part.
He does a good job of it to you.
He doesn't wind me up. I don't care. Big shout out to Big Jared up there in Sydney at his home course, making sure no one's wearing black socks and just, you know, making sure all is well in old man golf.
Lotes doesn't know Rocket, does he?
No.
Right. Rocket sort of said that he was trolling him.
No.
I thought it was going to get ugly then.
Like, there's one person on planet Earth that probably doesn't get trolled but might do a bit of trolling. It might be Rocket. I think it's Lotes.
If you want to get updated on the world of political, anything political, one way, one side or the other, follow Rocket. There you go. Mike, how are you? You well otherwise?
I'm good, yeah. It's been a very big week, bit going on. Work's very, very busy. And for those that you were part of the podcast last year that know, my world got affected by the floods here in Melbourne in the suburb of Maribyrnong. I signed on with 7 other people to sit on a committee as a part of our local council. So that's added onto the time at the moment, and a lot of hard work and good work being done and will be happening for kind of the next year and a half. But yeah, it's just added on a bit of time impact as well.
Okay. Does that mean there was no golf played?
No. Well, I think the only way I was playing golf this week was on a sim because it poured.
Okay.
Yeah. No, too much rain in Melbourne for golf.
I thought I'd have to get down and test the back out. I was actually down at Peninsula Kingswood checking out the new TW20 Nike golf shoes, for some upcoming work on Drummer Golf TV.
Any free Jordans for me? No.
No, don't ask about the Jordans, and they just don't supply. They do not supply us. I think we've had the black ones and the white ones. I think you've already got the white ones. And that's it. There's nothing special. They just keep it all for their, you know, VIP channels, for the Pat Perez's of the world, and so on and so forth. But no, the TW20s are available now. And I was testing.
Nino's a big fan of those.
Who's
Scotty Carter. Scott Carter's a big fan of those ones, I think.
Well, he was former bloody second in charge of Nike. He's a massive fan of everything Nike. Great bit of ink work. Did you see Scotty Carter's ink work? Now, for those that are listening and thinking, oh, this is a very into M-Log chat, yes, it is. But Scott Carter is one of the cohort. We've played golf with Scott many times. Great fella, former executive of Nike globally, not just in Australia. Great guy. Back here in Australia, doing some great things in that sort of digital sports marketing space now, after his career post-Nike. Obviously is a massive Nike head, and spent a fair bit of time in Oregon. What's the most significant golf facility in Oregon, Mike?
No idea. What is it?
Is it not Bandon Dunes?
Bandon is out there. I'm guessing it. Yeah, it's on the coast. I'm guessing it's in Oregon.
Oregon or Washington? It's one of those mid-northwest, northwest.
It's out on the coast there, yeah.
And what's the most famous tree at Bandon Dunes?
Is it called the ghost tree?
The ghost tree. So in the great world of my love of golf, bringing people together, you've often heard me talk about the power of the skill of Dan Maudsley. I'm not sure if Dan is still leading Teepster or was up there at the top end of the tree at Teepster. He was leading at one stage before KT, Big T Golf, took over. One of Australia's greatest tattoo artists. Scotty Carter went and got a tattoo of the ghost tree at Bandon Dunes on his calf.
Did he really? Looks magnificent. Did I see that?
It looks magnificent too. Maybe that wasn't public knowledge. I definitely sent a photo of it. So
then I'm going to message his missus now. Give me on Instagram.
So there you go. We've brought the tattoo world, the Bandon Dunes world, the Oregon world, and the Nike world together in the team of Teepster. If you want to get a tattoo.
Nearly fell down that tree. Nearly fell down earlier this year when they had the big storms.
Yeah. We had a great ghost tee at Peninsula Kingswood and they got rid of it. Anyway.
It's a good one at Werribee Park.
Okay.
In the middle of the par 5, in the middle of the fairway. It's the 16th par 5. There's a ghost tree right in the middle of the fairway. I want to say it's at about the 300-meter mark. So you normally trying to get up near it because you don't want to have to be hitting around it if you get too close.
So to come back what I originally started on before going off on that tangent, talking about hitting balls, I thought I'd test the back out, which has been hampering me a little bit from sitting in this very poor posturally incorrect desk that I operate from. But anyway, none of that, enough of that. I went and shelled about 200 balls down at the range, got the old Callaway Ivans out and the TCBs, and still got it. Still there. It's all good. Maybe not quite at the 90 miles an hour 7-iron swing speed, but no, shelled a few and felt great. So I might have to make a return to the course in a competitive nature soon, Mike. I sort of got a little bit of juices moving. Was chipping down there with the Tiger Woods TW20s on, doing a few bit of short game work out of the bunker. It's all good. Sounds good. Feels good. So I might have to get back out there.
It's just the wrong time of year. It just gets too cold. I booked a trip down the peninsula, but I'm thinking it might get to a point where I'll be sitting in the hotel waiting, and the minute it looks like it's going to be not too cold and not too wet, I'll head out and play golf. It'll be one of those weekends, I think.
When you booked where? This weekend?
No, a couple of weeks.
Okay. Where are you staying?
Staying at the Dunes.
Yeah, okay. It's a good-looking accommodation facility that they've built around there. Have you stayed there before?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay? It's clean and easy. Quite.
The rooms up on top of the hill that overlook the 18th.
Yeah, they're on the 18th, and there's some that sort of peel back around. Some that look over the driving range, some look over 18, some that look back towards kind of the corner of the start of the front back nine.
Yep.
It's fine. For something down there that's a little bit like the accommodation over at 13th Beach, it's just clean, simple, easy. If you're going to play golf, good value.
Okay. Easy to get in, book, good value. Like, is a self-contained, self-catering, or just go into the Dunes Clubhouse, or you just take off in the car?
Dunes Clubhouse will have food. Oh, I only stayed there one and maybe two nights earlier this year, I think it was.
Yep.
And I went into Sorrento and had dinner and then came back and then just relaxed. But the wife's away, so I just said, you know what, I'm going to shoot down the beach for a couple of days and play golf.
Cool.
But very good. Highly recommend it. Down there, we should do a podcast about places to stay down the peninsula. But it's one of the few that has new accommodation. Kerr Lewis over on the other side of the bay has just put a new accommodation in. 13th Beach has had the huts there for a little while now. There's a lot of good places to get away. And I know that 13th, and we're doing an ad now that we don't get paid for. 13th Beach has got a special at the moment. I can't remember the price. I won't quote it, but they are doing some specials for golf and stay. So if people are interested, go and have a look on their website.
Don't you get paid on this podcast, Mike?
I get paid in love. I get paid in stupid comments about live, and I'm full to the brim.
You're rich on Discord banter.
That's it.
That's a great idea. If you are one of the accommodation providers on the Mornington or Bellarine Peninsula, Mike's open for business. His reviews, his reviews are first class.
I've stayed in most of them. Well, I haven't stayed at Wickham yet, but we've done both of the Barmboogle, the huts at Dunes. We've done Lost Farm. I've done Lost Farm four or five times. I've stayed all up on the Murray. I've stayed all down the peninsula, both sides. We could easily talk about it.
There you go. Mark's looking for a personal golf accommodation sponsor. Mike, what happened this week in golf? We had the PGA Tour, of course. We had the sort of LPGA adjacent event that was on. We had the one that you're probably not going to talk about, the Papua New Guinea Open. And we had the DP World Tour, won by one of our very own. Mike, where do you want to start?
We'll start with the Wells Fargo, because last week we nearly forgot about the PGA Tour altogether.
Okay.
It was a elevated event, designated event, whatever the US Tour wants to call it. It's a course that I keep hearing bad raps about. I actually don't mind it. I actually don't mind quite a hole of it all. People will remember it as the host of the President's Cup last year. I quite like it. I wasn't expecting anyone to get to 19 under. I think that through 2 days at 6-7 under, I think the leader might have been at 8, you kind of then expect him to finish around 12. So for someone to get to 19 was really, really impressive. 63 in the third round did not hurt him, and that was Wyndham Clark, one who has clearly been he's had his struggles over the last, you know, I'll say last few years. Quite good coming out of college. Had some issues with, obviously, his mum passed away and a few other things had sort of impacted him in his life. But yeah, just really, really good to see him win, because I think he'd been knocking on the door in the data lake. Anyone that was in Discord that had a look at the sheet, he was number 7 on the sheet this week. So he was right up the pointy end. He was paying about $60 or $70. So I hope someone out there saw it and picked him. I didn't. But yeah, he seems like he's a bit of a character. I don't know if you ever listened to Colt Nost's podcast at all, Subpar, but the host, his co-host, Sleazy Man Drew Stoltz. Drew Stoltz actually caddied for Wyndham last year in an event, and just seems like a bit of fun. So it was just from listening to those guys talk to him a bit, he seems like a really nice guy. So it was very good to see him win. Not just win. I mean, he's one of those guys that when you see Xander Schauffele and Hatton Fleetwood and these guys right behind him, there was nothing surprising me more or less, I would say, than getting up on Monday and seeing that he'd been overhauled and won- and lost. But no, he was nails, absolute nails down the stretch. Didn't look like putting anything out of place, which is great to see.
Exactly, and the back nine sealed it. But you know, imagine that, you know, sleeping on a lead, you know, with Xander, Tyrrell, Tommy, you know, all there or thereabouts. Maybe not quite Tommy. We'll talk about Tommy in a sec. But yeah, Xander, you know, you probably expect more of Xander at the moment or in those events to really show the quality that he is. But is he disappointing you? Is he disappointing many of the teepsterati at the moment?
I find I don't think he could close an open door. I don't find that he really just gets it done. He seems to put himself in the mix a little bit. I just don't feel like he ever wins. He's a little bit like a bloke who's going to come up in our conversations when we talk about this week, who finished T3 as well with him, or just behind him, Tyrrell Hatton. I feel like they get in these great positions, but you never see them quite get there. And it's not easy, right? I'm not picking on the guys. I mean, you have to play your best golf to get into position, but you need everyone else to be not quite as good as you are. And if you have a person like Wyndham Clark who has a week out of the box, well, you don't win. Simple as that. You're fighting 140-something guys every week.
And do you put Tommy into the same boat? Like, Tommy is bulletproof in Europe, but he's still yet to do it. And he gets a lot of love. Like, he's a great player, clearly.
Yeah. Look,
is he ever going to close one out?
Again, I think it comes down to Tommy's a bit like Tommy less than Tyrrell. I feel like, I mean, I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but I feel like Tommy's played less events in the US than Tyrrell has. But I don't know. I kind of look at Tommy like someone who, yeah, he hasn't won here yet. But again, I don't know that he's had full seasons where he's been bashing himself in and out like a Wyndham Clark's been for like the last year. He's only playing here, whereas Tommy's kind of splitting himself across two tours. Okay. So I'm not shocked that he hasn't won, but because again, you've got to beat a lot of people, and tying it all together is just not that easy.
Yep. Any other standouts for you in that finishing leaderboard with Wyndham at the top, Xander, Harris English, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, T5, rounding out T5, our Aussie Adam Scott, getting a lot of love. What about Adam just sharing the love for his Tanimal Instincts?
Yeah, he's certainly enjoying that color palette, we'll call it, on his that he loves wearing, and then playing up to it a little bit as well now, which is good to see.
He's got a social, I believe, I'm led to believe, he's got a social media person. So a lot of these guys, and we may have mentioned this before, but a lot of these top guys that have great social followings and now essentially as part of their team have a social person.
Oh, 100%.
Because the pip, how much?
He wouldn't have time for this stuff.
No, but how much is the pip worth? How much would it be for
40 mil across?
40 million across?
10 blokes, 10, 15 people.
Doesn't it extend a little bit further than that now? But anyway, so you know, if Adam gets a few million out of that, for you know, he can very much afford to pay someone to you know, be a social person that then adds a heap of value to his sponsors. But so it was good to see whoever, if it wasn't Adam, it was good to see whoever is managing Adam's social stuff. Is that the bone? Obviously an Aussie, the bone, the white, the ivory, the off-white, or the beige. So Adam reshared, that was good. I love the nickname, the Tanimal.
Credit to TC
for that one.
I think that the event was one of those events where, for me, great to see Wyndham Clark win, but it was probably one of them in, again, I know we're a global podcast, but just for the people that are probably in Melbourne or the mad horse racing followers from the United Kingdom, it was very much like a Caulfield Cup. It was like we're two runs out from the Melbourne Cup being the PGA Championship, and a lot of guys here seem to be just, you know, finding form, not pushing too hard. No one's going nuts. A lot of guys stacked up in the middle there. I mean, from T8 down to probably T20, you've got Homer, Im, Fowler, Thomas, Woodland, Cantlay, Finau, all sitting in that little bracket there. They're world-class guys that are all going to be ready to rumble in 2 weeks' time, or at least try to be. So for a massive event, you know, $20 million purse, not to say they weren't trying, but I think it was really one of those ones where a lot of them were just making sure they're ready to go.
Well, okay. I'll throw this to you. Sitting just under that group, not just under, fairway under that group, is one person who we were expecting to be ready to go for the Quail Hollow event based on previous form at Quail Hollow.
Yep.
And he always figures in every major tournament discussions. Rory. I had him picked in the Teepster rundown. I thought he's a sure bet to get me some money to keep me there or get me some extra placings towards the top end of the pointy end of the Teepster, and plus one on the last day to finish even at T47. Like, he's not just tapering for a – that's not tapering. That's not playing good golf.
No, someone messaged me today about Rory saying, you know, is Rory gone? Is he finished? And I just laughed and said, oh, yeah, he's done. Never follow him again. Look, Rory came out last week, and I think we talked about it. I was really going to be interested to see why he missed that last designated event. And he came out and said that, look, I've had some personal stuff going on and just needed a break, and that's that. And that's fine. Got to respect that. I think he's probably a little bit tired, a little bit burnt out. It's been a massive year. He played a fair bit coming in, and it was just time to have a little spell ready for the PGA. I look at Rory as a sort of person there, even though he missed the cut at the Masters, and he was T47 at Wells Fargo, and he missed the cut at the Players. And I would not be shocked to see him win the PGA, and I would not be shocked to see him miss a cut. But I don't think I'm not going to say he's not too fussed about it. I just think that, for me, he's not someone I'm nailing down on form. He's not someone I could see him go either way. So I'm not, would never look at him and say, oh, he's out of form. I just think that he could be a little bit tired this week and come out and win in 2 weeks' time.
Don't know what the personal stuff that is going on. There's no reportage of that.
No, they literally, I can't remember who even said it, but whoever it was that spoke to him just said, yeah, look, had some personal stuff. Just don't, you know, didn't say respect my privacy, but just sort of said that we're just going to leave it at that and that's it. And then someone else had mentioned that, yeah, he would been tired, just a bit tired and from the season so far and needed a little break. But, yeah, it sounded like there's something a little bit more to it, but I think everyone's just leaving it alone, which is good. Should be. There's no reason for him to tell anyone if he doesn't want to.
Yeah, it's just people like us that go wanting to look a little bit deeper and find out, you know, what is happening and, you know, think that we can talk about
it. He's going to live.
Yeah. I'll get the Discord.
The live or cancel.
I'll get the Discord going now.
Don't put on Discord, just put on Twitter. No. Your boys can reach.
No, we're not gonna upset anyone else on Twitter.
So the Teepster competition. So for any of you that might have chimed in late, that we do have a competition. If you go to teepster.com, TEEPSTER. You can come into our tipping competition. Just when you go to search groups to join, there's one called My Love of Golf Podcast. I know you are going to feel like you're a long way off the leaders, but believe me, we've got a long way to go in this season. And, you know, a win at the PGA is probably worth $4 million, and $4 million probably gets you up in the top 30 of the tipping comp straight away in one event.
And for those that haven't played and keep hearing us talking about it, what the people that have already been on the journey, so I'm sitting in fifth place, yes, I was a couple of places higher a few weeks ago, I've dropped a couple, thanks Rory, but I can't pick Rory anymore, I can't pick John Rahm anymore. If you come in now, you've got the full box and dice, full schedule of players in the PGA Tour to pick from. So you can pick John Rahm at the Open, you can pick Rory wherever, or you can pick Xander, or you can pick whoever it is you like.
Correct. One and done. So you can only pick each golfer once, and then whatever they earn that week, you get to put in your winnings for the prize pool. Right now, no shock at all, no one had Wyndham Clark last week. We had a handful of people that picked Xander, though. So Boyley, KT, Golfing Tattooist, DB Golf, Jamie Staden, Rockets, Greenside Rakes, and all picked Xander. So they picked up $2.1 million for second place. So that tells you how he can go up the leaderboard very quickly, even with a second. For the overall, yes, Rocket, you're still in, Ross, you're still in fifth at 11.3. Lewis H, 11.7. Jim J, 11.9. Golfing Tattooist up into second with 13.7. And KT, just under 15, 14.95. The Rocket Man is down. Where is Rocket? I'm sure I saw him a minute ago. Can't be behind me. Surely not. Rocket. Rocket's in 53rd position, 4.3 million. That's no good. I'm in 39th with just under 6 million. And for those that are wondering, because without exaggeration, I probably get a phone call every second day from my mum. My mum's in 80th, but keeps telling me she's going to beat me. So she's got a lot of very good players left because she's picked all rubbish players so far.
Does your mum listen to the podcast, or is she just in the teeth?
She does. No. And she messaged me today and said, are you recording your podcast? What time? I have a funny feeling she thought she could turn it on like the radio.
Oh.
I was like, well, it's about 8:30 tonight. So I didn't hear back. So probably get a message in a minute saying, what channel are you on?
What is your mum's name?
Peter.
Peter's
up on holidays up on the Sunshine Coast seeing her brother, who's not well at the moment, Uncle Ronald. So, she's up there, and I think that she's probably spouting the M-Log gospel up there trying to get some new listeners up near Perugian Golf Club, I think, where Jamie used to play.
No, he's in the Gold Coast. That's in the Sunshine Coast. But that's where Herbie is an ambassador, and Dom has a party, and Caitlin Must are all working, do their work from. So g'day to Dom, g'day to Caitlin, g'day to Herbie, who's not there. He's just been there, but he's back obviously getting ready for next week. Does Peter, is she a hoodie girl? She wear a hoodie?
No. Oh, she's got a Western Bulldogs hoodie. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. She probably needs a mile of a golf hoodie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, probably will she wear it. She'd definitely wear it.
We need to get them, the mums of the podcast happy. She's slipped in and taken the mantle of Mrs. Rocket, who's probably still listening, Mrs. Rocket. But
I was going to say, don't say that.
Well,
my mum doesn't send anyone, shortbreads and things, to be fair.
Mike, if I tell her that I'm going to send her a hoodie, I'm sure she can make something for us. I'm sure there might be something coming back the other way. Anyway. Peter, all the best to Ronald up there, Uncle Ronald. I have an Uncle Ronald as well. Hope you're doing well up there, Ron. All the best in with your health, whatever's going on for you. I don't know, but hope you're feeling better. And you've got your sister looking after you. So, Peter, thanks for listening. I appreciate that. Your boy's doing a great job. I'm glad that he did actually turn up and hit yes to the join the podcast tonight, because I was worried. Mike, what else? What's the next event we want to do? We want to do
the women's event.
The women's.
The women's event. I watched a fair bit of the women's event. It was played in San Francisco at the where they played the PGA. Was it the PGA? US Open. What was the tournament they played there a couple of years ago? Out on the water. It was the PGA, I think. Because Morikawa hit that laser 3-wood into the path. The drivable par 416th, I think it was. It was a really good event. I really enjoyed it. It was something a little bit different. It was only 8 teams playing. You had two groups of 4 teams for each country, four countries in each group. had Sweden, USA, China, and England on one side, and on the other side you had Thailand, Australia, Korea, and Japan. They played the first day, they sort of played country v country, and they played 2-on-2, best score. So they played that, and then they gave out 2 points per game, and then they switched them. So everyone got to play each team once, and at the end of the round robins, the top two went through. And so in one of the groups, you had the Aussies. So Aussies in Pool B, they went through along with the Thai group. Yes, Thai group. So Thais and Aussies on one side and the US and Sweden on the other side. Into the finals, Thailand played the USA and Sweden played Australia. That right? I'm going mad now. Anyway, from the semifinals, and then basically the Aussies wiped the floor with the Swedes, which was really good to see. And lost my headphones then. And then the Thai beat the US 2-1. And so into the final were Thailand again versus Australia, who we'd already played in the round robin section. And we got beat. We got pummeled 3-0.
They got thumped, but
We got thumped. But it was good. It was good golf and a couple of good probably a little bit, not a coming out party, but Steph Kyriakou. Wow. She played amazing. She drained more putts from over 30 feet than I've ever seen anyone do in a weekend. It was amazing.
She's a great player, as is Hannah Green, as is Minji Lee. And Sarah Kemp, you know, who's been on tour for a long time. It was great to see her in that team. But, yeah, they didn't get it done over the Thai ladies. Tidikul, Tava Tanakit, Jatanagan, Maria, and what's her sister's name? I've gone blank on her sister's name.
Aria
Jatanagan. You know, when you look at that third, fourth, second, and first place, and the quality of the players in that group, you look at the Swedish team. You know, Maya Stark and Madeline Sagstrom. Wowee, what a unbelievable future of golf that country's got with those two wonderful young golfers representing them. Yeah, you've got Open champion Nordqvist there, and Caroline Hedwell, who's absolute ball striker of the highest degree as well. The Americans, you know, they've got Lydia Vu, you know, Lexi Danny, and Nelly Korda, you know, solid players there. The thing that struck out to me is that the Asian powerhouse teams barely struck a chord, Korea and Japan, and that's unusual.
Yeah. No, they the Koreans played quite well early. Japan didn't play well at all, and China nearly stole the last spot in from the US. Coming down the stretch, the US needed half a point to make it through to the final, and China was knocking on the door and coming home with a really strong effort coming out of the round robins, and they just missed them. But yeah, it was very good to watch because they were playing properly like teams, kind of like a bit of a Ryder Cup feel, I guess. The part that I probably found the most interesting was Minji Lee played as the pair for both of the finals. So she in the round robin part, you played in pairs, 2-on-2. But in the final, you played heads up singles for two of the four in your team. And then the last two played as a pair. And Minji played in the pair both times. I would have thought she would have played as a single. It didn't matter. I mean, because I think Steph won both of her games. Oh, she didn't win the final, but she was playing very, very good, Steph Kyriakou. But yeah, I would have thought Minji and Hannah Green would have been the top two. And Sarah Kemp just got in, just pipped Grace Kim for the last spot on the team. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of good Aussies, very, very good Aussies. And before we forget, the one that we shouldn't forget is the one that won on the Gabriella Tour this week.
Gabriella Ruffles. Congratulations to Gabriella Ruffles.
Second win on the tour this year.
Second win. She's a great player. She'll be on the LPGA Tour and would not surprise me within a year or two she wins on that tour as well. She's just got too much class and quality. And as we've heard elsewhere.
She broke the Epsom Tour record for the first two rounds scoring was who shot 10 under, then 8 under. It was ridiculous.
I'm not sure if it was on this or the Mental Mastery podcast where we've interviewed Gabby Ruffles. My first ever experience working in a Drummer golf store is when I was doing my sort of traineeship to be a franchisee owner of a store, and I was just sort of working as a casual at the Drummer golf Cheltenham store. And Ray Ruffles came in, paid for his, he was buying some golf balls for his wife, Gabby and Ryan's mum. And I sort of recognised the young girl. Gabby was like 14 at the time. She wasn't anywhere near golf at that stage.
Tennis?
Yeah, she was a tennis player. She was elite at tennis. And Ray presented his credit card, and I always, you know, had a look. If I'd forgotten someone's name, I'd look at their card, and R. Ruffles. So it can only be Ray Ruffles, and Ray Ruffles is a very famous tennis player for Australia, very famous tennis coach, coached the Woodies to all of that success that the Woodbridge and Woodford combination had. So Ray was obviously elite in the world of tennis. Not that many people know of that. And I remember having a joke with the young 14-year-old lady that was standing in front. I said, "How's your golf?" And she just sort of looked at me, you know, like, "Nah, hate it, not playing golf," or words to that effect. You know, it was just like a total blow off of, "I'm not interested in golf." And I always reflect on that, especially now when I see her winning on the Epson Tour and obviously the other wins that she had, and then getting to meet her via the Mental Mastery Golf podcast, which I reminded her of that. She said, "Yeah, I think I remember that, buying those balls and not being very happy to be there because I just wasn't into golf." But I think as she reported it, it turns out she was having a really bad time with the tennis. You know, she was just under the pump. She was one of those 14-year-old prodigies out there having to belt balls around a tennis court all day, every day, being driven to training, all of that sort of elite sort of junior athlete stuff, and she just wasn't enjoying it. And that was the time when she actually was switching towards golf, and they said, "Well, away you go, go and play golf," and look where we are now. There you go.
Yeah, well, to be, like we said, 10 under, 8 under, so 62-64, the second-placed shot 10 under on the final round to get within four shots of her, which tells you how elite she was for those first two rounds. So she only needed to shoot one under, finished 19 under for three rounds, and then you had three behind her at 15s that all shot 62, 63, 65. So she didn't need to worry about it. Would have been just a nice cruisy day for her.
Okay, very good. Just back to the teams event. Did you like my deduction is you like that format. You know, has that got a place in men's golf? Is that,
It does it depends what it is. I don't mind the team format. I think, and again, I'm going to use this as an example. I'm not having a shot at LIV. I find it good, not good. I find it interesting or something that works when you're playing a teams event and they're playing as teams. I think the LIV thing is not impossible to get right, but I think it's difficult to concentrate. Are we watching teams or is it individuals, or what are they concentrating on? I think, if that makes sense. So I don't think it's impossible. I'd rather watch a men's and women's event than watch the Zurich on the PGA Tour 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. With all due respect, Matt Fitz and playing with his brother, I don't care. Whereas if you said, right, we're going to have 30 teams and we're going to get the best 30 golfers we can get. Now, they're not going to be the top 30 in the world in that event, but they might be people that are going to go and have a bit of fun. And they're going to get to go and pick their teams with the women, or maybe the top 30 women want to pick the men, or however they want to work it out. They do a draw. It'd be great to watch.
Surely.
I'd much prefer to watch that.
Surely there's got to be a time when in this schedule of golf, there are events where the men and the women are playing alongside and together on the biggest stage. You know, those women that we just mentioned there before are elite of the elite, and they are ultimately some of the most watchable golf men, women, bar none. Surely there's got to be a product in getting that elite group of women playing with and alongside the elite group of men in an event.
Yeah.
Has to be.
I think even, I know the women's event probably drops off after, say, 30, we'll say, right? So if you had 25 and 25, you could easily make a great little event out of it. I would love to see an alt shot, and I would even more love to see heads up play 2-on-2 with men versus women obviously the women can pass off the forward tees. That's not the point. But how good would it be watching Tony Finau coming down the stretch versus Lexi Thompson? That'd be great to. I would love to watch that because they're very different styles of game, and just how they'd attack the hole and everything else would be great to watch.
Whatever way it works, it would work. It would have to work, and there's a reason why it works well in the amateur scene. You know, you've got the Australian Amateur Teams Championship being played this week. You know, and you see the social post of all of those happy young future of Australian golf representing their states out there doing it, the men and the women together. Don't tell me it can't work at a professional level and it wouldn't get the eyeballs on the product.
I think the only time they get close is when they have the what used to be called the father-son, but now you have Annika playing with her son and even Jessica Corder playing with Peter Corder. I think it was Jessica. But yeah, so like they're kind of getting a bit closer to having the men and the women playing in the same event, but it's not quite the same thing.
Yeah,
but I mean, you could easily get some top tier players.
It's got to be just get rid of one of the slate out one of the events or take a new proposal to the sponsors. You know, as you've rightly pointed out, PGA Tour is all about the sponsors. The sponsors pay for it, so get one of the sponsors who wants to have some cojones and get the marketing team that. You know, write the checks for the marketing budget, say, you know what, this is what we're doing, PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, come together.
The funniest part is the people that get their knickers in and out about the PGA Tour having all the money. The honest answer is they've probably got enough in the kitty to support something like that without having to need a super duper big major sponsor.
Oh, really?
And they could run it post the new...
Do they? Sorry, I'm really.
They're propping up the Euro Tour, so yeah, I'm sure they've got enough money to run.
You're saying the PGA Tour's actually got plenty of money? Oh my goodness!
No, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. Of course, I know what you're saying. Sorry, I interrupted you. I interrupted you there to have a backhander at the PGA Tour. Of course, they got shitloads of money.
How is that a backhander?
Why
is that a backhander? Because they ran a very profitable tournament series. Membership
they're not, they're not for profit. They're not for profit. They're not for
profit. Of course they do. Of course they are. Yeah, they're not for profit. Yeah, that's what they sit as. It doesn't mean they can't have money in the bank.
Of course. What I'm saying is they could spend it on doing things like that. As you correctly point out, and I was sort of saying that you said they got plenty of money, and I was like, oh, really? Because of course they could. Because people we talk in other podcasts would say, well, it's the sponsors pay for it all, so it's up to the sponsors. If they don't have the sponsors, they've got the sponsors. Get the sponsors to change their marketing dynamics or pay for it and put them. Someone's got to put their money out there and have something like this and make it happen. Not at the end of the year, not at the start of the year, not as a filler.
It'll be the end of the year.
Yeah, of course it will. But have some chutzpah to go out and change the mix.
They won't. It doesn't make sense to. That's the honest answer. Because if you're a professional golfer and you're going to play 20 events a year and you've got to take off four of those for the majors and your best what you want to do, you're not giving up one of those other ones to play in this sort of event, which would be great to see, versus next year you're going to have 14 15 elevated events for 20 million. You know, it ain't gonna happen. That's the honest answer. And just look, yeah, nothing's been proven else from LIV. Money makes the world go around. These guys are playing for money. So it would be great to see. It would be great for women's golf. But, yeah, it would. The only time it's going to happen is post-August next year, post the President's Cup, and before Thanksgiving would be my guess.
Yeah.
In the new schedule. Because there's no PGA Tour events next year, remember? Because the new season will start in January next year and run till August or whatever it is. So, there's going to be a bit of a gap there, and they're going to need to do something interesting. Maybe this will be it.
Okay. Adrian Moronk, PGA Tour, had the Italian Open at Marco Simone in Rome. A bit of a warm-up to the President's Cup. Sorry, washed my mouth out. Warm-up to the Ryder Cup this year. Some of the stands already been built. You know, it's great to see the things starting to take shape. And your boy, Adrian Moronk.
Yeah, well, Adrian, I invested in you last week quite heavily, and I ran out of time this week to look at anything, and I just completely forgot.
Oh dear!
As soon as I saw him there, I got some messages from other people that I talked into investing in him last week, and they said, "Did you bet on him again this week?" And I said, "I did not."
Oh dear!
Look, the honest answer is I didn't look at the event beforehand that much. I'm a bit surprised he did well. The week before, he played in Korea over to Italy. I think the week before that, he was even in the US. So he's done a fair bit of travel, has Adrian. To see him win was great. Nothing better than watching this guy win. I think if he hasn't stamped his ticket to play in the... I was going to say the President's Cup there as well. In the Ryder Cup, he's not far away. He can't be. Not only is he playing exceptional golf, he's won, three times inside the last 12 months, including an Aussie Open. He's now won the Italian Open at the course where the Ryder Cup is. Surely he gets a spot.
He's all game. It was good to see him win again.
He's playing great golf. It is very good to see. Very good to see.
Anything else standing out there in the winners there, Romain Langasc? I don't know much about Romain Langasc. He pops up in that part of the world there a bit. I do know Jorge Campillo with another
George.
George. Pointy end of the field, just continues to post results, post My Love Golf sponsored win, where he hadn't won, of course. And then he played with us, and then he started winning. And now he's just a feature at the pointy end of the pack. Greatest hair on tour. He probably gets my vote there for the biggest hair on tour, the big Spanish black bouffant.
Adrian Morant could be one to watch in 2 weeks at the PGA. He'd be one that no one's expecting to play well.
100%.
He could be a top 20 option. Yes, that was good to see. Sudal opened this week in Belgium. So don't know whether it's going to be a massive event. I think a lot of people that would want to be warming up for the PGA are already over in either in the US or probably taking the week off. I don't know that many would be playing in Belgium this week. Jorge is playing though, you'll be happy to know. Marcel Siem, Thorbjørn Olesen, Adrian Nategui, Callum Shinkwin's there. Callum Shinkwin's always plays pretty well. Sean Crocker, one of my favourites, he's there. Haotong Li, who knows what he's going to do. And then two of your mates there, Ewan Ferguson, Richie Ramsey.
And then the Scotsman. So the Sudal Open is at, where have we got there?
Get me to pronounce it. It's at Rinkven. We'll call it Rinkven International GC in Antwerp.
Okay. Do we know much about Rinkven International?
Not at all.
Not at all?
I can't tell you anything about Rinkven. I'm sure, I don't even know whether they played it there last year. I can tell you it's a par 71. That's all I've got for you.
Looking forward to playing some golf in that part of the world one day. In there and around the in the Netherlands there, supposed to be some great golf, great link style golf. Maybe I'm not sure about the Belgium part of it, but
small photo I saw
in the Netherlands part of that part of the world, there's supposed to be some very high quality golf. Okay, got a tip for the Sudal?
I'll go with Callum Shinkwin for no reason at all.
Okay, got a tip for this week's PGA Tour event?
This week's PGA Tour event is the Byron Nelson. Where we get to see David Michelozzi make his first appearance on the PGA Tour.
Let's go, Mika.
Top 15. We always like the top 15. So top 15 on the Data Lake this week. Tyrrell Hatton, Tom Hoagie, Tom Kim, Scotty Scheffler, Jason Day, Will Gordon, Siwoo Kim, Eric Van Rooyen, Satoshi Kodaira, K.H. Lee, Hideki Matsuyama, Aaron Rye, Mark Homeless Hubbard, Robbie Shelton, and J.J. Spawn. Homeless Hubbs had a hole-in-one last week, which is great to see. Jason Day had vertigo last week. God, it was like a time zone last week. We've gone back in time. Jason Day, don't know about Jason at the moment. He was playing such good golf in the last couple of rounds. He's been so-so, and it came out that he was suffering from vertigo at the Masters and then again last week, so which is not the best sign. The guys that I like are the ones at the top, without being annoying, Hatton, Hoagie, and Scheffler. If I wanted to pick someone who was a bit different, I might have a look at Jimmy Walker. He's a bit down the list.
Yeah, he was Adam Scott. Top 10 or so last week, was he not? Texas.
He was 14th last week at Wells Fargo, 15th at the Mexico Open, 25th at Heritage. So again, that tells me reasonable form. That's pretty good form. He's got a second here about 6-7 years ago. He's got a sixth here about 3-4 years ago. So I know he can play here. Not even 100% sure they were TPC Craig Ranch, but let's just say they were. Walker Texas Ranger. We're in Texas. Surely he's a chance. Or Adam Scott. I mean, look, I think a lot of people listen to me. If you're in the Teepster competition, you're going to want all of your money on Scotty Scheffler because he's about a $3, $4 favorite. Save Scotty for an event where it's an elevated event and get the most bang for your buck, because this week's prize pool isn't quite the $20 million that we've been playing for in other weeks. Yeah, so I don't know. I'll be just circling around somewhere around those lists.
Aussies in the field, so we've got Jason Day, Adam Scott, Dave Micheluzzi, Minwoo is playing. Is he playing?
Minwoo is playing.
Lucas Herbert is playing.
Great question. Haven't seen Herbie on the list. Doesn't mean he's not playing. I don't know where Herbie. The way he picks tournaments to play in, I'm sure he's got a rhyme or reason. I just don't know it. Because I know that he was back in Australia, obviously, post his win in, was it Japan?
Yep.
And now he's, yeah. If he's back here, then good luck. So Aussies, we've got Aaron Baddeley, Snake Chalmers. Great to see Greg Chalmers get a start. Jason Day, Harrison Endicott, Minwoo, Dave Micheluzzi, who doesn't have a photo on the PGA Tour. Got to sort that out, Mika. Jeff Ogilvie's qualified. Don't know. Reorder category, 39 through 44. Cameron Percy, Adam Scott. And that's it for the Aussies.
Okay. All right.
Again, getting a bit lean field because I just saw about the 10th alternate is Omar Uresti. So, getting lean 2 weeks before a major.
I think Greg Chalmers must have got elevated in off the... He was on the alternates list. He was like first alternate. And I think he maybe have moved in.
Jordan Spieth withdrew. Yep. He's got a very, very sore wrist, I think it was.
Too much of this. Too much chicken wing. Too much of that at Impact.
You got to explain, because I can see you, but the listeners can't see what you're
doing. So as soon as I say chicken wing at Impact there, you know, like the leading edge wrist digging in, it's got to take an impact if it's his left wrist. I don't know if his left or his right.
For him to say 2 weeks before a major that is in quite, it's very sore, that's not a great sign.
Mm.
But yeah, Snake gets in on, it says he's on the reorder category, category 39 through 44. So he's on the reorder, same as Jeff Ogilvie.
Oh, good luck to Jeff, and good luck to Snake Chalmers.
Mm.
There's another event being played this week in the USA, Live Golf Tulsa at Cedar Ridge. You got the data late prepared for Live Golf Tulsa, Cedar Ridge. Mike, you want to give us a rundown of what you think, thoughts are on the teams and who might win the individual?
Can't tell you who's going to win any of that. The honest answer is I don't know anything about the course, and I don't get data on Liv, and so I can't tell you data-wise how anybody's going or doing.
What data do you need? What data do you need to be able to produce a data lake for Liv?
It would really depend on what I want to look at. So say as an example, for something like this week at. I'm going to say Wells Fargo.
Cedar Ridge?
No. We'll talk about the US, the PGA one to start with. So to give you the example of what we do. So Byron Nelson at Craig Ranch, I look at the stats that have historically shown to be useful here, right? So it might be that when you look at this course, the tournament shows that the course over indexes in shots from 200 to 225 yards. So I pull that stat in as something I'm interested in. It might show that the course, you need to be a very good putter on bent grass green. So I pull that stat in. It might be that you don't need to be accurate, but you need to be a long driver. So I pull in whatever it is. So these are all the things that I'll pull in. So if to answer the question in a long way, Live, the tricky part about even having Live stuff, I wouldn't know what the course needs. So I can't tell you. Even say at the Grange, unless I call Stu and he says you need to be good at irons into the green, so that's the main strokes gain approach. But other than that, it's impossible to sort of do. Other than that, you just be looking at how they played at this course before and how they're playing coming in, and they've not played the course before, so that doesn't help. that's how they're coming in. And the person that would be on top is Taylor Gooch because he's won the last two events.
Okay. Well, if we can't give a data-like, honest set of tips, the next best thing that I can go to is the broadcast team. Here are the tips from the broadcast team. I'll run them down. Troy Mullins. She's picking Cameron Smith as the individual winner. She's going with the four aces. David Faherty, he's going with Taylor Gooch. He's going the triple treat Taylor Gooch back-to-back-to-back, and he's going for the Range Goats GC. Arlo White is going with Phil. Arlo's gone with the Phil man, and he's going four aces. Four aces is just almost unbackable. Dom Belay is going with Peter Uihlein. Peter Uihlein's a very good golfer, and he's playing very well.
You said that the other day. Why do you say that?
Because he's playing very well. He's like top of the stats on most of the things in the live world. I'll pull him out and send to you. But no, I just think he flies under the radar. Flies under the radar a bit.
His dad's the chairman of Acushnet. Or he's senior at Titleist.
What's his dad's name?
Wally? Surname's Uihlein.
Yeah, Wally. I don't know. They're definitely related, right?
Yeah. I'm just looking at his results.
So Don Belay's gone with Peter Uihlein and Range Goats. Suan Heng, the young broadcaster, former professional golfer from Singapore, is going with Brooks and the four aces. No more love. Jerry Foltz is going with Taylor Gooch for back-to-back-to-back and Smash GC. How they stand is interesting. So you chuckled when I said Taylor. Troy Mullins. Troy Mullins is actually leading the overall tipping, the teepster, the live teepster amongst the broadcasters. Troy Mullins is leading. She's got 126 points. David Faherty, 97. Arlo White, 91. Dom Belay, 90. Suan Heng is 89. And Jerry Foltz is 81. There you go. Can't give you any more teepster type tipping information for those that want
it. You should have just said who you think's going to win.
Who I think's going? I'm going to go with DJ. Don't know why.
Fair enough.
I liked watching DJ. I liked watching him in the press conferences that I watched him. I liked the way that he spoke, and I just liked the way that he looked around and got around. And
DJ's been the epitome of someone that's done it properly, done it well.
Mm.
Like he's gone. I've gone for the money. I'm here for this. I'm not going to make a fuss about it. I'm just going to get on with it. And he's been great. Speaks with a, you know.
He doesn't mince his words. He doesn't waste any words. But yeah, he's got a good bit of wit about him. Much as, you know, he's like got a good sharp, you know, eye for a bit of wit. So I like that about just seeing DJ talk in the flesh.
One of my favourites golfers is Harald Varner. I mean, Harald Varner's been extremely clear about why he's gone, and he doesn't care. But it's just there's a handful of others that I think spoil that for a lot of people. Which is, you know, good luck to him. But yeah, I can't say. I mean, if I honestly, the only line that I would say, which won't happen, is if you were going to say Tulsa's in Oklahoma, Bugger Lugs is from Oklahoma, Matthew Wolf, but he won't win because he's playing rubbish. So that's it. There's a dud light for you.
I think that's a reason why they're in Tulsa. You know, it's to demographically, you know, if that means anything. I think that obviously, I think Liv are conscious of there's some markets that, you know, the concept just isn't going to fly as well. And I don't know America, and I don't know the sort of state alignments and allegiances at all, so I'm not planning to propagate that. But I think what I heard was that they've done some analysis that says that, you know, the concept's got a better chance of, you know, resonating in Tulsa. We should have had Doc here because he spent last year at the PGA in Tulsa. So there you go.
I think effectively they've tried to pick areas where they just don't get a lot of PGA Tour golf.
Yep.
But their best chance is to make noise is somewhere that's starved for it. And look at this. I mean, Australia's different, but in the States, that's the market they need to win. And yeah, there's no point in them going and saying, right, we're going to go and have one in, you know, tournament X in Texas or Florida where there's a PGA Tour event every other week. They're going to need to do something pretty special to get people involved, I would have thought. Something different anyway. Which I guess is what they do.
Mike, there we go. That's a bit of a rundown on all of the golf that's coming up and all of the golf that was. Let's hope to see you down in the peninsula, not this weekend, but next weekend. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And no. Be start of June.
Okay. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's your show. Good luck with tipping this weekend, Peter, up there in Sunshine Coast. And shout out to you again. Everyone else, thanks for tuning in. Like, share, subscribe. Tell a friend if you want to listen to two blokes who love golf and just want to talk about golf endlessly, well, they can tune in and sit at the other end of the table while we chat on and listen in. Crack yourself your favourite drink, cup of tea, Bonox, hot chocolate, Coke or whatever. Do that on a weekly basis. We'd really appreciate it. But until next time, we will see you then.